It's good to be here for the worship of our God together. Particular welcome to you if it's your first time with us. We're going to the New Testament this morning. We're going to Colossians and chapter 2. Taking a break from Deuteronomy. We're going to Colossians and chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. So that is on page 1183 of the Church Bibles. You want to read from the Church Bibles. We have the sheets, everybody, so if you want to follow. One thing I've done with these sheets of late is I've left them as a fill-in-the-blanks kind of sheets, rather than putting words in them that give the detail of the message. I'll be appreciative of your feedback, what actually is more beneficial to you. Whether you like the things filled in so you can follow it, or like you like it like this, where you can fill in the blanks. In fact, we just want feedback concerning all issues concerning the life of the church. To Zach, Mark and myself as the elders, we want to know how you're feeling, how you're interacting with the life of the church. There are some pens at the back if you haven't got a pen for filling in. Filling in the sheets, following the message. So we're thinking about living the life this morning. Let's read the passage together. I'm reading two verses this morning, and let's hear God's word from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. That's God's word, and it's always great to read God's word. So our subject this morning is living the life. And as we come into to Colossians, when we've been going through Deuteronomy, quite often I've said to you, this is a picture. We've come out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt is salvation, and being going into the land, that promised land, remember Deuteronomy is Moses preparing them for the promised land. That is a picture of living the Christian life. Well, there's a sense in which today I'm bringing you to the reality. That picture in the Old Testament, which was for the nation of Israel, I'm bringing you to the reality of that for the Christian today, as it's expressed in the New Testament, as it's expressed by Paul here in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. So let's get our minds moving as regards to what do we want this morning? Where are we going with God's word this morning? There is a life to be lived, and there is a life worth living. Yeah, this life is the Christian life. It is no other life. There's no other life which offers true life for you this morning. It is only in Christ, because of Christ, for Christ. That's why our focus this morning has been on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we don't want to be devoid or of thinking about the situation of this country at this present time, even recent events. It's a confused world. It's a painful world. Dare we say it's a mad world in so many ways. And how do we respond? And I don't want to give you therapeutic techniques to say this morning where you've all got to block your minds off from the bad stuff and say, well, we just got to have some enhanced thinking and we'll all get through. What I'm saying, what I want to put before you is we'll only get through life. We'll only move on in life. We will only have a life that is worth living amidst all the mess and confusion and desolation of this world when we are in Christ and for Christ and because of Christ. I don't have an explanation of everything. 3 weeks ago, we specifically thought about the issues of how, of the troubles in this world and how we make the sense of them as Christians. It's on the internet if you want to listen to the message from May the 26th. Focus this morning is us moving forward vibrantly in life. And everything happens for us to move forward because of Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives us purpose. He wants to give us direction. A life worth living now and a life which is forever with God. This is the greatest, the biggest, the most wonderful stuff. Yeah. So we're coming into this, into Colossians, and we're going to think about how we get life and how we experience life. So fill in with the book of Colossians. These people in Colossae have become Christians through a man called Epaphras. Chapter 1 and verse 7 tells you you learned it from Epaphras, a dear fellow servant. It was a faithful minister of Christ, They'd learned the gospel, they'd come to faith, and now they were Christians. But they were under threat. They were under threat for some people who said, it's all well and good, you becoming Christians, but you've got to have some enhanced experience. And when you have the extensive experience, then you'll really be full. And Paul is having nothing to do with that and saying, no, not at all. All your fullness is in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Don't, these false teachers with all of their promises of added life, there's no added life beyond the life that is in Christ. As we thought this morning already in various different ways, Christ is everything. So that is the context in which Paul is writing. He's telling them Christ is everything. So that'll bring us into our passage this morning. We've got two main points. First is getting life. That's number one. And number two is experiencing life. Okay. So what was Mephibosheth? According to his own reckoning, he was a dead dog. And if you're dead, what are you? You're dead. You don't have life. So if you say to somebody who's dead, get up and live, you're not going to get much response, are you? They will only be transformed when life comes into their situation. That's a picture of us. Mephibosheth expresses, as Zach so helpfully brought out to us this morning, our condition of humanity, which is expressed in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, which we are dead. Why are we dead? We're dead of in transgressions and sins. You say to me, well, I'm still moving around, I'm doing things, yeah? But real life is starved from you because you don't have life with God because of our rebellion, our transgressions and sins. So go to what it says, Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. They got life through receiving Christ Jesus as Lord. Life came to them when they received Jesus Christ. So, following the sheet, I'm on to 1A now. 1A. How do we receive this life? How do we receive? So we got a how. First point is getting life. How do we receive this life? Acts chapter 20. Paul would say concerning what he'd done when he'd gone down to Ephesus, he said, I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they both must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we receive Jesus Christ into our lives? Through repentance and faith. Okay? So the how question, we receive Jesus through repentance and faith. Our sin is offensive to God. We need to repent of it. We need to realize how bad it is that we've not gone God's way. We are sinners. We need to stop and say, I am wrong. We need to repent. No salvation without repentance. Repentance is critical. An awareness of God. An awareness of our sin. We need to repent. We've got to realize our sin is not just a few mistakes that have harmed our lives disadvantageously. Sin is an offense to God. We need to repent. Sin will take us to hell. We need to repent. Sin leads to death. We need to repent. And then we need to look to Christ. In all of our dead doggedness, we need to look to Christ. In all of our crippled on two legsness, we need to look to Christ for life. It was David who rescued Mephibosheth. It's Christ who rescues us and takes us into the family of his grace. So you look at him on the cross. He came into this world, the perfect one. Died on the cross. He died our death. That we might have his life. He's conquered death. He's alive from the dead. So we need to receive him. Receive him into our lives. Trust ourselves to him as the only sufficient Saviour. All is different now because Jesus is alive. This hopeless, corrupt, wretched world has been visited by salvation. And we look to Jesus this morning. In all the confusion under this world, I say, look to Jesus. You won't find understanding of things anywhere else other than in Jesus Christ. He's dealt with sin. So we might have life. So we need to trust him. So who do we receive? B in number one. B, we've had how? By repentance and faith. Who do you receive? You receive, going to our passage. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live in him. Who did you receive? Fellow Christians, who did you receive when you became a Christian? Yeah? You receive a tonic, receive a therapy, receive a code of teaching. You receive Christ when you became a Christian. So it's Christ Jesus the Lord. Three things then. Who is this one? Christ. He's the Christ. He's the long promised one. He's the one who was unveiled to us in the Old Testament. The one who is all the promises concerning salvation focus upon. He is the fulfiller of every indication of salvation and hope in the Old Testament. He is the special one. He is the anointed one. He is God's chosen one. So he is the Christ, the special one. Then he is Jesus, that one who is the Christ promised, was seen in Jesus. You want to know where the Christ is? You want to know where hope is? It's not in some spurious creation of man's thinking. It's in the real person. Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He is the man born of the Virgin, living in the reality of this world, living in the reality of the flesh of mankind, sin apart. So he is the human one, and then he is Lord. He is the Lord. Jesus Christ, the Lord. And that's the more accurate rendering of the statement. Simply, you receive Jesus Christ, the Lord. He's Lord. That word is Kyrios. And the reason I mention that is because in the Old Testament, when the Old Testament was translated into Greek, the name Jehovah the Lord was translated as Kyrios. So what's that telling us? That's simply telling us that this one is God. Okay? So the name for God, the Lord, in the Old Testament, in the Greek translation, was Kyrios. Here's the Kyrios word, and it's used of Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. He is God! This church believes that Jesus Christ is God. Manifest in the flesh. We hold to that. We'll live for that. And I trust, fellow believers, you'll die for that. Because if Jesus Christ is not God, there's no salvation, there's no hope. It is a teaching we reject totally. Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus Christ is the special one. He's the human one. He's the God one. And we receive him. He's the ruler of the universe who becomes ruler of us when we become Christians. Because, fellow Christian, when you've lived your life as a dead one in the mess of this world and you've messed up your life, what freedom it is to find a perfect ruler who will rule your life well. And see then, in the first point, still with me? This is about getting life. How do we get life? Repentance and faith. Who is the one that we receive? Jesus Christ, the Lord. And where do we receive him? Where do you receive him? What I'm thinking of here is, what's the environment? What's the circumstances of where we receive him? Humility. Firstly, humility.
It's in the atmosphere of humility. Proud people never become Christians.
Pride always stops us because we think, I'm sufficient, I can do it. You know? I'll get through, talk about somebody about judgment and say, I'll be okay. And that frightens you to your heart, I trust. But somebody says, I'm going to be okay because we're wretched. We are, what are we? Isn't it so wonderful how things connect together? We are dead dogs. We are crippled on both feet. We are desperate. So we receive. Where do we receive him? First point, we receive him in the atmosphere of humility. Where do we receive him? Secondly, we receive him in the atmosphere of grace. God's favor flowing. This is the time of God's favor. Exciting. Exciting. It's not a time of hopelessness. It's a time when we can know life through Jesus Christ. So it's grace. What is grace? Grace is God giving to us. Grace is God flowing with his goodness to those who don't deserve it. So where do we receive him? We receive him in humility. We receive him in grace. We receive him in love. Love flowing from him and our response of love to him. God so loved the world that he gave. And we respond and say, Lord, I love you for all of your kindness, all of your gift. Faith is a loving response. Faith is the response of those who think upon how much he has loved. So here is the atmosphere in which we have received him. It's humility, it's grace, it's love. All of those things, those beautiful things that are coming together as we receive him into our lives as life comes. That's exciting. That's great. So in a confused world, there's no life anywhere else. So that's the first point. Receiving life. Getting life. Second point is experiencing life. Experiencing life. One of the dangers that we have about the Christian faith is along these lines. We think, well, we become Christians now and we just gotta do our best. Or we'll just try and get through until that promise of heaven, which is associated with the gospel, comes to us. No, God has a life for us. So you think about the nation of Israel, which we've been thinking about in the book of Deuteronomy. The whole excitement of Deuteronomy is that there's life ahead. If they simply have faith and believe what God has for them, they can go into that new land and they can enjoy life. And that's what Paul is saying to the Colossian Christians here. He's saying, don't buy into all of these new theories about some enhanced life you might have through these false teachers. Just see that you've got life that you can now live in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a life to be lived, and we're going to see what is the character of that life as we move from the second part of verse 6 into verse 7. Okay. The important thing to realize is the character of how we live is exactly modeled upon the character of how we became Christians. The character of how we live is modeled upon the character of how we became Christians. Yeah? The basic principles on which we start are the principles on which we continue. It's not a received salvation by repentance and faith, so we live. So we think about those things. What is it then? What is it? You think experiencing life? What's going to be in it then? As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to live in him. So walk in him. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? It's going to be how? Which is repentance and faith. It's going to be who? Christ Jesus the Lord. It's going to be where? It's going to be in humility, grace, and love. that's basically how these things work out. So I'm just at the start of the second point here is, those are the basic principles on which we should be living, yeah? So you start with those principles, you continue in those principles. It's the heart of how we are to live. Now, so if Paul now comes, when he's established that, so continue, he's going to give some clarification, he's going to give some explanation, he's going to give some detail by giving us three statements which will come and indicate what it is in more fuller way to continue to live as those who have received Christ Jesus as Lord. So the first one is, if you go into verse 7, first one is, we are to be rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Okay. So let's think about being rooted and built up in Him. Who in? Who in? In Christ. In Christ. Okay? Both of these things are things that happen to us. So let's think about the first one. And that is being rooted in Christ. This happens once for all. But the benefits continue. Okay, what does that mean? What do you do? Anybody gardeners here? Any gardeners? You want an apple tree, and so you get, what do you get? You get a sapling, don't you? You get a sapling, a small apple tree, and you, what do you do with it? Well, if you just bought it from the shop and placed it in your front room, it's likely to die, isn't it? Yeah. So what do? You take it and you root it. You put it in the ground, you root it in the ground once for all. The tree doesn't root itself. You root it, and then you're optimistic that all of those good things from the soil will come up through the roots and the tree will flourish. Well, that's basically an image of what we're talking about here. When we became Christians, God took us and rooted us in Christ. He rooted us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Once and for all, with the anticipation that our lives would flow with, dare we say, the juices of life, the nutrients of life from the soil which is Jesus Christ our Lord. We need those nutrients. We need His life flowing through our lives by the Spirit of God. That's a Christian life, you see. It's not me developing a new lifestyle. It's the life of Christ flowing in us. And so as Zach brought those things out, as we looked at 2 Samuel chapter 9, this will be the reality of us living transformed lives in unity together, is the reality of Jesus Christ pulsating through my being, through the Spirit of the living God being upon us. And so I need to be continually drawing those roots through prayer and Bible study. Okay? So that's it. That's the first thing. We're rooted and we're also built up in Him. So it says, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Again, this is something that happens to us, but it's a continuous thing. We're continually being built up in Him. Continually growing. If I put a different image, imagine a boat without an engine. What does a boat without an engine need for it to move? A boat without an engine, in order to move, has a sail. Okay? There's a sail. So what do? In order to get the boat to move, you have to maneuver the sail in order that it catches the wind and therefore it'll move. Okay? You don't move the boat really, do you? You just have to maneuver the sail so it's in the right position. And it's then the wind that moves the boat. So similarly it is in here. In order to be built up in Him, we don't, as it were, just sit down all day and say, I wonder how much building is going on in me today. I wonder how much I am being built up. No, you put your sail in the right position through studying God's word, through being with God's people, through praying to the Lord, through fasting as appropriate. You put yourself into a position whereby the wind of God can come upon you and you'll be being built up. I'm mixing the images here, but I trust you understand. We'll be being built up. We'll be getting stronger. This is life. It's being strengthened by the strength which comes from Christ Jesus. So you think of the building here being built up in Him. You think of the roots. And it's all coming together. Lots of different images. But you build on the foundation of Christ Jesus. Okay? So what is the architect's plan for the building of our lives. For you to have a life which looks good, is valuable, is worthwhile. What's the architect's design? What are we looking for in the life? The architect's plan is Christ. That's the architect's plan. You're modeled upon Jesus Christ. That is the life. You look at his life as it's revealed in the scriptures and you say, that is the life which is the perfect life. That is the life to be lived. And we're being built up in him. So we don't need new teaching. We don't need just pep talks as regards to do better. We want the life of Christ moving within us. And then we'll be living the life. Okay, so we're in the second main point here. It's about experiencing life. We've thought firstly about this. We've thought about how that is based upon the whole continuance of the things that we started out with. And now we've thought about how we need to be rooted and grounded in him. So secondly, we're thinking as we go into verse 7, we need to be strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught. We need to be continually being strengthened. Again, this is God working upon us, and it's a continual thing. We need to be strengthened. We need to be stable. We need to be solid. We need to be strong in the faith. What's the faith here? The faith is the teaching of God's word, the fundamental expressions of the faith, the teaching that reveals and indicates what is the message of the Bible. And so we need to be strengthened. As they were taught, you see, this is what they were taught. Epaphras had taught it to them. Strengthen in the faith as you were taught. Okay, we need teaching. We need teaching, everybody. Yeah. So part of the Christian faith is you need teaching. I need teaching. We all need teaching. And the key area for that to take place, the primary area for that to take place, is through the church. God places us in the church. Acts 2:42, one of the reasons is that we might have the apostles' doctrine. We might have the teaching. Teaching comes into our lives, we can be strengthened. The sad thing about so many Christians is they're still weak in the faith because they've never had the faith growing within them through taking in the teaching and responding to it. So you need teaching, everybody. We have teaching meetings in this church for the younger ones amongst us. If you're in your teens or you're in the 20s, 5 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, there is teaching in the Engage group. Wednesday evenings we have teaching. Tonight we have teaching. Sunday mornings we have teaching, and we're glad to give teaching. Teaching as well takes place in other aspects, and I trust you're being taught at home as well. A Feltham journey is a means for the teaching of God's word. But come and be taught. We need to be taught so we may be strengthened in this crazy, crazy world, that we might be strengthened for the Lord. So here we have it then. This is what it is to experience life. It is to be rooted and built up in him. It is to be strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And avoid those things which will not strengthen you in the faith. We have an epidemic of it today. It's all over the internet. So much rubbish is available at your fingertips, which will not strengthen you in your faith. Please come and ask the elders of the church if you think, as regards to stuff you might be getting involved in, you ask whether it's suitable or not. But your soul matters to us as elders. Your soul matters to us. So feed yourself good things. See, strengthen in the faith. So finally then, as we're thinking about experiencing life, we're thinking about being thankful. About being thankful. And here we come to our final statement then in verse 7. And overflowing with thankfulness. This is like the river. And it's flood time. There's been lots of rain. And the river flows over onto the floodplain. Because there's so much water that the water cannot be contained within the riverbed, and the water flows over. This is the idea of thankfulness. We are so thankful that our that our beings cannot contain it. We just flow over with thankfulness. I wake up with thankfulness. I go through the day with thankfulness. I go to bed with thankfulness. I come to church with thankfulness. I speak to my children with thankfulness and to my wife with thankfulness. And I go through the circumstances of life with thankfulness. If you want to know what thankfulness is, go and read about Betsy Ten Boon in the concentration camp at Ravensbrück in the Second World War. And the horrific circumstances they were in physically. But Betsy, what a godly lady, what a remarkable lady. She would find reason to give thanks. Corrie, her sister, wondered how she could do it. But Betsy would find reason to give thanks. Let's be finding reasons to give thanks. We don't have to go far, do we? So we go back to the beginning. It says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Me? Receive Christ Jesus the Lord. He's come into my life. All of that grace and all of that love. And I think, how could God love me? How could he take somebody like me? A dead dog and a crippled on 2 feet. Do you think Mephibosheth ever stopped being thankful? You know, he was a write-off, wasn't he? He got all the wrong connections. Because it was part of Saul's dynasty and that had now gone. He was a write-off. But he'd been rescued by David and he was at David's table. Could he ever stop being thankful? If everything else is falling apart and collapsing in our lives, the salvation of Jesus Christ stands, his love stands at the cross. And we can always return to the cross and say, thank you, Lord, whatever of my lot. You taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And so I say, thank you, Lord. I say, thank you. And I continue. Seek, can I just say, I trust we can get something from this message this week. And if perhaps even this is a challenge to me, a challenge to all of us. Determine now to go out and be thankful. Determine to find reasons to be thankful. Dare I say, start the day with a reason to be thankful. Finish the day with a reason to be thankful. And our hearts will lift, I trust, brothers and sisters. We're in a world which is not thankful. We're in a world of thanklessness. We should be thankful people. Because God is for us. The cross tells us God is for us. A living Saviour in heaven tells us that God is for us. A returning Saviour who is going to deliver us to everlasting life tells us that God is for us. Us, he is for me. And so this is life. This is the life. This is the life. We receive it. We get it through Christ Jesus the Lord, because he is the life. We experience it through having Jesus Christ the Lord living through us. And we flow out with thanksgiving. I just want to conclude by saying, there's a plural here. This really comes back to what Zach was saying earlier. There's a plural here. Where it says, as you have received. Verse 6, so then just as you received. That's a plural. That's all of them together have received this. And obviously the call of Paul to them is, all of you together should be living this. So help each other, brothers and sisters, in Feltham Evangelical Church to experience this and live this. That we might be a church that is vibrantly a Christ church. No other church is of any value other than a Christ church. A church where Philip Venables is becoming more and more like Christ. A church where you are becoming more and more like Christ. Not in the end as individuals, but as a group of people together. We live in an individualized society. And we lose so much as a result. The church is not an individualized society. It's a corporate society. Together, we live. Together, we grow. Together, we prosper. As the life of Christ pulsates through us. So there is a life. Amidst all of the confusion of this world, there is a life. I don't know what that will mean for you or me this week, but it will mean something. Because if God spares you into another week, you'll be living and a profoundly valuable life will be found for those who have experienced the salvation of God in Christ and those who are living out the salvation of God in Christ. So let's go. Let's appreciate our Saviour in our final hymn this morning. Crown Him with many crowns. A Lamb upon the throne. Let's just celebrate the Lord in singing this hymn. Let's stand and sing to the Lord.